Vienna, the capital of Austria in Central Europe. The country currently has a centre-right coalition government, but in recent years its politics have clearly shifted to the right. Early one morning in November 2020, Austrian security services launched what they called Operation Luxor. That was the code name for a series of dawn raids, all on prominent Muslim figures, political activists, and community organizations. The raids took place simultaneously at around 70 different locations, and 30 people were questioned. Tamer al-Nishal of Al Jazeera Arabic went to Austria to meet some of those raided on the 9th of November 2020 and to form a picture of the treatment of Muslims by successive Austrian governments. Who initiated Operation Luxor and why? And is there an element of discrimination against what some call political Islam in Austrian society? Ibrahim Abdelmerdash is an imam at a mosque in Vienna and was one of those awoken abruptly that November morning.
يوم 9 نوفمبر كان بالنسبة لنا شيء رهيب لأن الاقتحام كان في تمام الساعة الخامسة أو الخامسة إلا خمسة دقائق
فجرا
نعم وبطبيعة الحال أنا أقرأ في الليل وأسهر نمت متأخرا واستيقظت على أصوات غير عادية أصوات مذهلة داخل البيت قمت من هنا من مكاني إلى هذا الباب يعني قرابة 20 ثانية وأنا أتخيل من الذي يعني يصدر هذه الأصوات من أين تأتي مجرد ما فتحت الباب وجدت كابوس بمعنى الكلمة رشاشات ليزر أنوار مسلطة صريخ بشكل هستيري ارفع ايدك نام على بطنك وانا مش في وعي ايه اللي بيحصل مين انتوا ليه
مين بيطرق الباب في هاي الساعه مين بيضرب على الباب طبعا في هاي الثواني القليله بدات افكر مين ممكن يكون على الباب هل هو ممكن جار سكران غلطان في الباب وبيضرب بيضرب بيرن ففتحت الباب مجرد ما فتحت الباب وجدت حيط من الجنود أسود في أسود وأقنعة سودة مسلحين
طبعا أنا كل شيء في الدنيا كنت أتخيله إلا اللي حصل يعني إن هم يدخلوا علينا بهذه الطريقة بأسلحة رشاشات وملسمين وأكثر من 30 شخص من كل اتجاه من هنا ومن هناك وبعدين جم خرج الساعة 5 صباحا طرق الباب بشكل إجرامي إرهابي حقيقة يعني فإحنا أنا جريت زوجتي كانت بتصلي الفجر وصحتني في لحظة أنا كنت قدام الباب فتحت الباب انتهى البساطة طلعونا برا ايدك فوق وهم يعلمون ان انا ما عنديش حاجة انا بالبيجامة ما في شيء انا وابني خرجنا خرجونا برا حافين وفضلنا واقفين 15 دقيقة تقريبا برا وهم دخلوا تخيل بقى انا عندي بنت مريضة بالقلب وكان طبعا اول ما حصل الموقف كل همي وتخيلي ان بنتي دلوقتي قلبها هيقف كان شيء مستحيل مستحيل لما تجد نفسك عاجز ان انت تحمي بنتك في بيتك شيء لا يمكن تخيله ولا يمكن نسيانه ابدا كل صرخت صراخي وامهم تصرخ ارجوكم لو سمحتوا بنتنا مريضه بالقلب فوق وخلي ابدا دخلوا بالاسلحه ما في شيء ولا كانك قلت شيء
طبعا لما يعني بتاع الكبرى ما شاء الله
كبرى القوات الخاصة
القوات الخاصة نعم أجسام ضخمة والأسلحة والمعدات اللي على جسمهم مرعبة لكن أول ما قال لي نام على بطنك أنا بطبيعة الحال ما أقبل الإيه ما أقبل الإهانة يعني، ما استطعت. فقومت، أنا قومت ما فيش يعني، حوالي 20-30 ثانية لقيت نفسي طاير في السقف ونازل على بطني، ضرب نزل بركبته على ظهري كأنه يعني غرس في ظهري سيف أو خنجر. صرخت بأعلى صوتي، ارفع رجلك أنا بموت، ما فيش، ارفع ما فيش. خلاص استسلمت، قلت أنا يعني بموت الآن، استشهدت أو نطقت الشهادة واستسلمت أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأنا شايف أرجل بتطلع وتدخل شيء مرعب وأصوات مرعبة. ده كله أنا تفكيري في أولادي، فين أولادي فين عيلتي.
أنا فتحت عيني لقيت الرشاش على راسي يعني كده
في داخل الغرفة،
في داخل الغرفة وتلاتة ورا بعض، وبعدين ضلمة مش شايفة في إيه بالضبط يعني كده. بعد كده فتح النور فتفاجئت بتلاتة، وطبعا جيت يعني أجيب الحجاب عشان ألبسه ورفض، فدي يعني أثرت فيها جامد يعني، إن أنا دخلوا عليا وأنا كنت يعني الحمد لله يعني الواحد كان لبس كل حاجة، بس هو موضوع الحجاب بس اللي يعني نفسيا يعني. فطبعا جي وقفنا عشان يفتش، مش عارف يفتش ايه يعني. للأسف انا وقعت، ما حسيتش بحاجة بقى لما جابوني هنا.
I started shouting at them and I asked them who is responsible for that, and there was one very interesting response. It is a response that Austrian people know very much from the Nazi times, because after the Nazi regime had ended and people were brought to the court, there was one typical response coming from officials from the state authorities. And this response was, I'm just fulfilling the orders. So I'm not responsible, I'm just doing my duties. And I said, so okay, so who is responsible for that? And then they said, yeah, the state prosecutor in Graz. He's responsible.
What Fareed Hafez was told is correct, and Operation Luxor was coordinated by the public prosecutor's office in the city of Graz, 200 kilometers south of Vienna. The raids took place a week after a former ISIL sympathizer shot dead four people in the center of Vienna. But there's so far no proven connection between the Dawn raids and that Vienna solo attack.
تحقيق استمر 11 ساعة ونص.
متواصلة.
متواصلة. متواصلة.
وعلى ماذا تركز؟
أسئلة في منتهى التفاهة اللي في الدنيا. من الصلاة حتى موضوع الخلافة. بتصلي؟ قلت له أظن من التخلف لما تسأل إمام تقول له بتصلي. قلت له ده دليل على أن أنت المعلومات دي، الأسئلة دي بتاعت أمن الدولة، بتاعت مصر، بتاعت سوريا، بتاعت البلاد المستبدة. بتصلي الفجر؟ بتصحى أولادك يصلي الفجر؟ بناتك بيصلوا معك؟ بيصلي ورا ولا بيصلي قدام؟
يعني أسئلة كلها أسئلة دينية
شرعية
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 فقهية.
شرعية طبعا.
ماذا عن الأسئلة التي وجهت إليك في هذا التحقيق سيد هرماس؟
تعرف لما يكون الموضوع قوي، وأول ما بدأ بالكلام بدأ عن الإرهاب وما الإرهاب، فتوقعت الأسئلة حتكون قوية. فبيسألني بقول لي شو رأيك بزواج البنت على سن التسع سنوات؟ صدمت، قلت له عفوا عيد السؤال. أنا مش ما فهمت السؤال، أنا صدمت للسؤال. أنت طلعني من بيتي الساعة 5 قالب البيت فوق تحت يعني، وهذا عشان تسألني البنت التسع سنوات تتزوج أو لا تتزوج؟ ما كنت لسه أرتاح من صدمة السؤال الأول، فصدمني بالسؤال الثاني. السؤال الثاني كان ما رأيك بختان البنات؟ فقلت له لحظة، أنتوا يعني إحنا مطولين في هذا الموضوع؟ في هاي الأسئلة المش طبيعية هاي؟ فقال لي لسه في عندنا صفحات كثيرة وأسئلة كثيرة.
Also mir im Zuge der Ermittlungen ist mir schon sehr auffällig geworden, dass hier vehement auf das religiöse, auf die religiöse Gesinnung punktiert wird, nämlich auch durch die Fragestellungen. Hier wurde nicht ermittelt, ob hier der einzelne Verdächtige tatsächlich mit der Muslimbruderschaft oder mit der Hamas etwas zu tun hat.
Operation Luxor was carried out across four Austrian states. Over 900 police officers and special unit agents took part in it, but no criminal charges were brought against anyone questioned.
I think these are all assumptions. There is nothing proved. Luxor did not yield anything. And I'm a legal person, as you now know, and I looked at this from a legal point of view, and I said, this is a terrible mistake, because it affected some 30 young families.
Wir waren bei der sogenannten Operation Luxor mit mehr als 930 Polizistinnen und Polizisten im Einsatz.
Tamer al-Mishal asked about the name of the operation, given that Luxor is an Egyptian city with no obvious link to Austria.
هل إطلاق أسماء خارجية على عملية داخلية هو أمر معتاد هنا في النمسا؟ خاصة أن العملية قامت بها السلطات النمساوية؟ الهدف منها هم شخصيات ومؤسسات نمساوية والعملية على الأرض النمساوية.
Of course, it's a reverence to Egypt, yes. So there is quite a possibility that there were contacts with Egypt before that, and there is also one of the victims who disappeared in Egypt after this operation. So I would not be surprised if there would have been contacts with the Egyptian secret service.
Previously unreleased Austrian security service documents also suggest some kind of link to Egypt and confirm Thomas Schmiedinger's point about one of the men questioned. He was an imam of a mosque in Vienna, and when he later travelled to Egypt, he was arrested on arrival. This raised the possibility of collusion between Austrian and Egyptian intelligence. Meanwhile, Austrian prosecutors continued to insist that Operation Luxor was launched after an investigation going back more than a year and was not connected to the Solo attack the previous week. That was carried out by a 20-year-old dual national of Austria and North Macedonia with a previous conviction for trying to join ISIL in Syria. Some observers, however, believe that the two were connected and that the raids were a response by the populist Austrian government to the Solo attack.
I think it was a political operation. It was the attempt to show after that terroristic act that preceded the whole thing a few days before, prior to that, to show that here is the Minister of Interior protecting you against terrorism. And the operation was directed towards people who couldn't even be suspected to be in that number or in that kind of let's say group.
Raul Konojka's view is in line with the statement made by Austria's then interior minister the same day as the Operation Luxor raids. Karl Niehammer is now the Austrian chancellor and referred to the operation as a necessary response to the Solo ISIL attack, a quote, successful measure taken against so-called political Islam. But the position is not clear. The Graz prosecutor's official line remained that Operation Luxor had been months in the planning. And this is borne out by documents uncovered by Tamer al-Mishal and his team. Some are from the former Austrian Intelligence Service, the Federal Agency for State Protection and Counterterrorism, or BVT. These documents detail interrogations following the raids on the 9th of November 2020. One, dated 6 months before the raids, is from the Graz Public Prosecutor's Office to Austrian intelligence and orders the hacking of social media accounts. Another orders the monitoring of phone messages and obtaining phone records.
راقبوا التليفون بتاعي خمسة أشهر
شخصيا كانوا يتصنطون
خمسة أشهر خمسة أشهر كاملة ليل ونهار يراقب التليفون طلعوا من عندي خمس مكالمات مكالمة مع واحد سمسار بتاع ده كريديتا يعني سمسار قروض فهذه كانت مكالمتي معه بقول له أنا عايز أشتري بيت والبيت ثمنه كذا وعايزين نعمل وانت قول لي كتبوا إيه المكالمة كتبوها عايز اشتري بيت فحطينه على اساس اتهام ما في قاعدة
اتهام شو يعني
انا كده بعمل غسيل اموال او ان انا بمول الارهاب او الارهاب بيمولني والتلاتة مش موجودين لان انا واخد من البنك انا ممول هذا البيت بشكل كامل يعني مش
من بنك النمساوي
من بنك النمساوي بنك اسمه بنك النمسا
لم يكونوا على اطلاع بمصدر تمويل هذا المنزل؟
لم يهتموا بالاطلاع هم اتهموا بدون ما يطلع وهذه بالنسبة لي غريبة جدا
هم أخذوا تليفوني عموما ويعني أنا سعيد أنهم أخذوه لأنه مش هيلاقوا فيه إلا أنشطة وجمعيات ومؤسسات يعني حتى بزيارتي لفلسطين بشهر أكتوبر الماضي بجانب اهتمامي بوالدتي رحت زيارة إلى الخليل لمستشفيات الخليل وقدمنا أجهزة التنفس في مشروع الكوفيد 19 لمستشفيات الخليل
أولا سألني مباشرة أنت من مؤسسين الإخوان في النبس قلت له ده كلام غير صحيح
ولكن في الأدلة في التحقيقات التي طلعنا عليها
نعم.
عرضوا عليك صورة لك شخصيا مع محمود عزت نائب المرشد مرشد الإخوان المسلمين المعتقل حاليا في مصر
نعم هو استدل بهذا على أنني إخوان مسلمين وأني من مؤسسين وقيادة الإخوان
وهل هذه صورة صحيحة؟
طبعا صورة صحيحة لكن أنا أجبته وقلت له يعني من الذي أدخل محمود عزت إلى النمسا؟
هي الصورة في النمسا كانت؟
الصورة في النمسا نعم
متى كانت؟
أعتقد بعد الثورة مباشرة يعني كان الإخوان في صدد انتخابات مجلس الشعب والشورى والرئاسة يعني كان حزب أكبر حزب موجود في مصر الدولة كلها بتتعامل معاه والغرب كله كان بيتعامل معاه في ذلك الوقت محمود عزت لما دخل النمسا دخل بفيزا نمساوية ما دخل بفيزا إبراهيمية ديمردشية دخل بفيزا نمساوية كلام مش يعني هذا الكلام ما هو كلام دولة هذا كلام ناس يعني تفهى تريد أن تفعل شيء وفقط هدية لمن لا نعلم.
Until now, they didn't find a lot of evidence for what they accused these people being a member of a terrorist organization, because all of that is based on the assumption that the Muslim Brotherhood as a whole is a terrorist organization, which is a new thing in the European Union. The Muslim Brotherhood is not considered a terrorist organization. It's only a few Arab states, actually, like Egypt or the United Arab Emirates, who consider the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization.
The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in Egypt in 1928 as a religious and social organization and then moved into politics. Although it's well established across the Arab world, it's not allowed to operate as a political party in certain Arab countries. In Austria, some right-wing politicians tried to get it designated a so-called terrorist organization. A right-wing coalition formed a new Austrian government in December 2017. It didn't manage to ban the Muslim Brotherhood outright, but it did raise its perceived threat level. By the time Operation Luxor took place in November 2020, the far right had left office. But nevertheless, nine people raided by the police that day took a complaint to the Graz Higher Regional Court. 9 months later, the court ruled that the raids had been unlawful. It said that the authorities had used disproportionate force and underlined that the Muslim Brotherhood was not considered a terrorist organization in Austria. Lawyer Andreas Schweitzer represented the group in the case.
Also die gesamte Ermittlung seitens der Staatsanwaltschaft basiert einzig und alleine aufgrund einer einmal indifferenten Anzeige aufgrund eines Facebook-Postings, wo man angenommen hat, dass Personen, die hier das Rabia-Zeichen zeigen, dass das Nazis sind. Darum hat die ganze Ermittlung begonnen. Und in weiterer Folge wurden Gutachter eingesetzt, die sich dann in ihrem Gutachten über den Islam, über die Muslimbruderschaft sehr, sehr negativ geäußert haben.
This 2019 Austrian intelligence document refers to a meeting of Muslim activists held in Vienna and alleges that those attending used the Nazi salute. But the people in this photo are actually using what's called the Rabah sign. This was used in Egypt in 2013 by supporters of deposed President Mohamed Morsi.
لا يوجد حزب سياسي إسلامي في البلد. فكيف تقول إسلام سياسي؟ يعني المسيحي اللي بيقف يورد رأيه في الكنيسة اسمه مسيحي سياسي؟ يعني القسيس لما يقول رأيه في السياسة يبقى قسيس سياسي؟ مش ممكن. لكن لأننا في حالة استضعاف، حالة ضعف، ولا يوجد من يدافع بطريقة دستورية وقانونية قوية. نحن أمام مهزلة. مهزلة حقيقية تاريخية اجتماعية سياسية في البلد. احنا ما عندناش غير واحد او اثنين او ثلاثة في البرلمان المحلي. في البرلمان المحلي لفيينا وليس للنمسا. واحد تاني في سالزبورغ او اثنين. لكن ما في واحد في البرلمان العام بتاع النمسا.
Operation Luxor took place exactly a week after a lone attacker shot dead four people in the center of Vienna, though opinions differ as to whether the two events were connected. The operation did generate a large number of documents, including previously unreleased intelligence reports. They show a variety of seized items, including personal belongings, religious books, cash and electronic devices. The Austrian authorities hailed Operation Luxor a success. Karl Niehammer was Interior Minister at the time, though he's now Austrian Chancellor. He said the police action was aimed at, quote, cutting off the roots of political extremism. We're acting, he said, against these criminal, extremist and inhuman organizations with all our strength.
Da kam dann auch die Meldung vom Innenminister Niehammer, man hat hier 25 Millionen Euro Bargeld gefunden. Aus dem gesamten Akt geht nicht hervor, dass hier 25 Millionen Euro Bargeld gefunden wurden. Im Gegenteil, es waren zwischen 200.000 und 400.000 Euro aufgeteilt auf 30 Personen und der restliche Wert war einfach der Wert der Liegenschaften, die hier beschlagnahmt worden sind.
Al Jazeera English contacted the Austrian Ministry of the Interior with a number of questions relating to Operation Luxor. The ministry replied, saying that it would not provide a statement or give an interview. They referred Al Jazeera to the public prosecutor's office in Graz, but when approached, they did not reply. Dr. Farid Hafez was one of those questioned in the operation. He was born in Austria and lectured in politics at the University of Salzburg. He co-founded the Muslim Youth of Austria and has been campaigning against Islamophobia for several years.
And one of the things that happened was that they left a full bullet back there under the broken glass of the window, which in different languages around the world is clearly understood as a threat. I am a scholar. I'm an academic. I don't deal with bullets and weapons. I have no experience, right? I mean, obviously, if you watch movies, a bullet, a left bullet, full bullet is a message, right?
Looking outside Operation Luxor, Tamer al-Mishal also met Osama Abu al-Hosna. He was manager of a McDonald's in Vienna and got caught up in the one-man attack on the 2nd of November 2020. He went to help a policeman who'd been shot by the gunman and was hailed as a local hero. El-Hosna was honored for his bravery by the mayor of Vienna and appeared on Austrian TV. However, he says that a few weeks after saving the policeman's life, he was designated a so-called terror suspect.
Osama, متى جاءت الرسالة؟
الرسالة اجت تقريبا بعد شهرين من المدعى العام في غراتس.
في مدينة غراتس.
مدينة غراتس.
طب هل عرف السبب؟
لا لا حتى الآن أنا ما عرفتش السبب حتى سألت يعني في شو أنا متورط ليش بتبعثوا لي رسالة هيك وبدون سبب بدون أي أسباب يعني فرجوني الأسباب فرجوني وين أنا يعني أنا تعاملت مع ناس زي هيك دعم الإرهاب فرجوني أنا شخصيا وضحوا لي ليش أنتوا حاطين اسمي حتى ما رضي يوضحوا ليش اسمي موجود في القائمة هاي
حتى اليوم
لحتى اليوم
طيب أسامة كان واضح أنه العملية كما روجت السلطات النمساوية أنها استهدفت مؤسسات وجمعيات تمول وتدعم الإرهاب هل نشطت في أي مؤسسات أو جمعيات؟
إيه نشطت في مؤسسات خيرية لفترة شهر وبعدين تركت
عمل تطوعي؟
أكيد عمل تطوعي
شو طبيعة العمل؟
طبيعة العمل أنه للاجئين اللاجئين في العام 2015 اللاجئين السوريين اللي تهجروا هون على النمسا يعني قمت انه بسبب مساعدتهم من ناحيه الملابس والمواد الغذائيه
فقط
فقط
A year after the Vienna attack the Austrian president again thanked El-Hosna for saving the life of the injured policeman
der am 2. November 2020 schwer verletzt wurde und seinem Helfer dem gebürtigen Palästinenser Osama.
Osama Abu al-Hosna no longer seems to be under investigation. But Tamer al-Mishal did raise his case with an Austrian member of parliament, Dr. Stefanie Crispa. She has said that Austria's, quote, far-right lawmakers have opted to surrender to lazy populism. Tamer asked Dr. Crispa what she thought of El-Hosna going from national hero to so-called terror suspect.
Sometimes Austria is a place of many contradictions. And sometimes they are very irritating. And on this issue, I must say, it's a shame that it was not only even discussed if citizenship could be given to this man who rescued another one in a brave act.
But Osama Abu al-Hosna was not one of those raided in Operation Luxor. Although most of the raids took place in Vienna, they were coordinated by the public prosecutor's office in Graz, 200 kilometers away. The Islamic center there contains a mosque and a social center, and most of its users are Austrians of Bosnian origin. It was also raided as part of Operation Luxor.
We have never had any illegal or security issues with the mosque. I believe that the story begins several years back when the Austrian authorities started implementing a number of new policies that were targeting Muslims and the Muslim community in general. That started in 2015 when they introduced new law regulating life of Muslim communities on institutional level. It carried on with the ban of the face veil, the ban of head covering for small girls in elementary schools, etc. That is something that started happening several years in the past that we of course felt that Muslims were under new scrutiny and were being, in our view, used as a scapegoating community to ensure certain better support from the local voters.
There are about 700,000 Muslims in Austria, around 7% of the population. They were heavily opposed to the 2015 law changes, all part of the Islam Act, and took part in widespread protests. The law restricted foreign funding for Islamic organizations and cut off an important financial lifeline for them. The architect of the legislation was Sebastian Kurz, Minister of Integration Affairs at the time. Kurz represented the right wing of the Austrian People's Party and became Chancellor after the 2017 general election. But he came under investigation in a financial corruption case in 2021 and resigned as Chancellor.
And I think this is what we saw, especially with Sebastian Kurz. Sebastian Kurz was the main guy who was in charge of implementing all of these policies that basically criminalized Muslim life in Austria. And the beginning of that was the Islam Act in 2015. So when I ran against this act and spoke out publicly, and other institutions like the Muslim Youth of Austria, they rallied against it. That was the time when everything changed, because the Conservative Party realized there is a strong force in the country which is running against our ideas of how we see the future of Islam in Austria. And then you could see 2017, the face veil ban act, 2018, the hijab ban act, the closure of mosques, with the critique of the Islam Act. And I remember there were guys from the Muslim Youth who visited Sebastian Kurz when he was still Foreign and Integration Minister. And he actually warned them. He said, look, you should take care of what you're saying in the public. But they kept on with their protest. And one day later, the first article appeared in the media, linking them and linking the protest against the Islam Act to ISIS. Okay? And then a few weeks later, there was this allegation of linking the Muslim Youth then to the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's how all of this started.
Al Jazeera English contacted Sebastian Kurz and asked him to respond to the allegation that the 2015 Islam Act and Operation Luxor specifically discriminated against Muslims. His office replied, saying,
Islam has been a recognized religion in Austria, with all rights and obligations, since 1912. After more than 100 years, the Islam Act had to be adapted to the challenges of the time. To this end, there was an intensive dialogue with a wide range of stakeholders, including the Islamic religious community in Austria. To speak of discrimination here is absurd, because the legal status of Muslims in Austria is one of the best in Europe. Operation Luxor was an anti-terrorist measure, such as there are many in Europe and in the world. It was approved by independent courts and is also subject to the control of independent judicial bodies, and therefore does not constitute discrimination either.
هل ما نشهده في النمسا هو نتيجة طبيعية لهيمنة اليمين المتطرف فكرا وسياسة وأيضا تأثيره في القوانين التي تخص الإسلام والمسلمين.
The rhetoric being very anti-Muslim, the topic being used very often in political debates, came in Austria, I would say, with the last government being a right-wing government and very populistic. And it stayed with us. So the Minister of Interior, now coming from the Conservative Party, trying to win many votes from formerly right-wing voters, still also today in Parliament, for example, raises the issue of Muslims being very receptive to becoming terrorists and to the issue of terrorism itself.
As Tamer al-Mishal continued to look at the whole question of discrimination against Muslims in Austria, he met Professor Anas Shakfe. Shakfe was president of Austria's Islamic religious community for many years. He's been honored twice for his efforts in helping Muslims integrate into Austrian society. But Shakfe has also allegedly been put on a list of names linked to terrorism.
أنا حصلت على الوسامين في عام 2008. وسام الاستحقاق النمساوي الذهبي الكبير من الاتحاد، من الدولة الاتحادية، والوسام الذهبي، وسام الاستحقاق الفيناوي الذهبي من ولاية فيينا.
وكان التكريم على ماذا في هذين الاستحقاقين؟
على طريقة تعاملي مع الدولة أثناء رئاستي للهيئة الإسلامية، والخدمات اللي قدمتها للنمسا. أقمت ثلاث مؤتمرات للأئمة على مستوى أوروبا في النمسا بتعاون مع الدولة النمساوية. يعني هذه المؤتمرات كانت تمولها الدولة النمساوية حقيقة، يعني عمل من أجل النمسا وصورة النمسا، وهذا عن إيمان في الدور، دور النمسا، يعني كان رائدة في أوروبا.
وبالتالي السؤال، ما الذي تغير حتى تغير أنس شقفة مشتبه إرهابي؟
تغير أنه الجيل المنفتح على العالم والمتسامح والذي أخذ الدروس من التاريخ يعني تقاعد أو ذهب كذا، وجاء جيل ما عرف كل هذه الأمور، عاش في الرفاهية. طبعا بعد الحرب العالمية الثانية بنت النمسا وأوروبا كلها رفاهية جديدة لم تعرف في التاريخ، فهذو جاءوا مرفهين ويظنوا أنه أي قادم جديد سيقاسمهم هذه الرفاهية.
أيضا بالإضافة إلى مداهمة هذا الوقف، أنت شخصيا تم إدراجك في القائمة التي صنفت على أنهم مرتبطون بجماعات إرهابية.
هذا تم فيما بعد، يعني لاحقا.
ما قصة ذلك؟
يبدو أن التقرير اللي استند إلى ذلك استند إلى
تقرير ماذا؟
إلى دراسة كتبها شخص اسمه لورينزو فيدينو. التقرير كتبه 2017، وفي هذا التقرير زعم بأنني أسست مجموعة للإخوان المسلمين في النمسا في الستينات مع شخص اسمه غالب همت. أنا لم أسمع بهذا الاسم من قبل، يعني سمعت الاسم من هذا التقرير.
التقرير هذا هل
التقرير نعم
هو الاستناد الوحيد على تصنيفه؟
نعم، نعم.
هذا التقرير؟
هذا التقرير.
Dr. Lorenzo Vidino is director of the Program on Extremism at George Washington University's Center for Cyber and Homeland Security in the US. He's written extensively about what he describes as, quote, the activities of Muslim Brotherhood-inspired organizations in the West. Vidino produced a 2017 report called The Muslim Brotherhood in Austria. In it, he says that the Muslim Brotherhood has operated there for several decades, and has created a sophisticated network of what he calls, quote, entities, charities, educational academies, and businesses. In the section about Anas Shakfi, it says that his, quote, first foray into Austrian Muslim organizations was with the Muslimische Sozialdienst, founded in the early 1960s by Ghaleb Himmat, and that Shakfi, quote, also founded the Muslimische Studentenunion, of which he became Secretary General and later President. Dr. Vidino's work has been challenged by a research project on Islamophobia at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., called the Bridge Initiative. It claims that Vidino's research promotes conspiracy theories about the Muslim Brotherhood in Europe and the United States. Al Jazeera English contacted Dr. Vidino for a response to the Bridge Initiative's criticism. He replied to say that they are, quote, entitled to their opinion. But he said that because one of the Bridge Initiative's senior fellows is Dr. Fareed Hafez, and that as he was one of those detained by Operation Luxor, their work is not what he would call neutral. Tamer Al-Mishal also followed up the question as to whether countries other than Austria were involved in Operation Luxor, particularly given its name.
Also aus dem gesamten Akt, so wie ich den jetzt kenne, geht alles grundsätzlich aus Ägypten aus. Aber auch aus Israel, ja, weil wenn man sich hier die ganzen Fragen anschaut, die denen Verdächtigen gestellt wird, ist eins schon klar. Hast du etwas gegen Ägypten? Hast du etwas gegen Israel? Bist du gegen die ägyptische Regierung? Willst du Israel vernichten? Warum, weshalb, weswegen? Wer hat Interesse dran? Das werden die Ermittlungen zeigen.
Among the documents uncovered by Al-Mishal and his team was correspondence that sheds further light on alleged Israeli involvement in Operation Luxor. In a parliamentary answer in February 2021 by Austria's then Interior Minister, Karl Nehammer, he says that, quote, "The success of the operation was welcomed internationally and especially praised by colleagues and representatives from Germany and Israel."
سيد ستيفاني، هناك حديث عن أن هذه العملية لها صلات بدول خارجية. هل قدمت لكم أي معلومات تتعلق بهذا الجانب في البرلمان؟
I think that's an issue, and we have to question if not only other interests than the national security in Austria from inside Austria had some implications on the case, but also interests from other countries, from other players in other countries, may it be states, may it be secret services, partner secret services. We know that we have an issue with our Office of Protection of Constitution and Counterterrorism in Austria that was for some players too open to share information. There could have been influence in other cases on what this office is doing and putting its focus on.
One of those raided in Operation Luxor decided to leave Austria. Dr. Farid Hafez, the Austrian-born academic who's a senior fellow at the Bridge Initiative, chose to move to the United States.
The only reason why they are doing this is because they want to intimidate you. That's the only reason. And some other lawyers were also saying, like, the reason why they do this is because they want to have you out of the country. They don't want to have you there anymore. That's what another lawyer said. In my case, they have succeeded to some extent, yeah.
لم يعاقب أحد من أفراد الشرطة الذين اقتحموا هذه البيوت بالسلاح. وزير الداخلية حتى اليوم يدافع عن هذه العملية ويعتبرها إنجازا أمنيا وحكوميا.
I smile because you and I know politics and politicians. I mean, the slap in his face cannot be just acknowledged as a slap in his face. He has to say, well, we tried our best, we did it, we had good reasons to do it. Well, maybe it was a mistake or the courts have a different opinion. That's politics.
Al Jazeera English contacted the Austrian Ministry of Justice with a series of questions relating to the allegations made in this program, but they did not reply. Austria used to project itself as a country that valued integration and coexistence. But in the past decade, its politics have made a definite shift to the right. However, it's not alone. Far-right political parties have also gained support in other European countries, France, Germany, Poland, and particularly Hungary. And their populist agendas are always anti-immigration. Austria's own judicial system ruled that the November 2020 raids were unlawful and heavy-handed. But if operations like Luxor can take place in democratic Western countries, this may well be a sign that the populist right is giving Islamophobia and other forms of discrimination more traction and making some parts of Europe increasingly uncomfortable places for Muslims and other minorities to live.